Good Monday morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you here with Dr. Tom Schwartz, the Hospital Director for the Veterinary Health Center at Kansas State University. And we just talked a lot about the business side of it and a little bit of your background and possible future with having everything at K-State named after you.
Maybe. Well, I'd like to thank my father for calling in this morning.
He calls in a lot.
Yeah. But I appreciate the kind thoughts, but sure. We certainly have many far more deserving people. We have wonderful people at the university here.
But I want to get back to kind of where we started in that second segment and talking about college debt and talking about student loans and those sort of things, as we did have graduation this past weekend. So one thing to those graduates, maybe not initially, but maybe 6 months from now or a year from now, they're going to start getting some letters.
They have 6 months or 90 days in some cases before they need to start paying. But they may, I've encouraged our students, especially if they used income-derived repayment plans, to start paying immediately, really start paying in January. So to give you some background, here's the situation in veterinary medicine. We have extraordinarily high levels of debt. In 2001, and these are real debt numbers, so adjusted for inflation, so dollar for dollars equals dollars here. In 2001, we had a mean debt level, real debt, of $70,000. Real mean income for starting new graduates of $60,000. By 2015, our real mean debt was up to $135,000. Real mean income was $70,000. So not much move in income compared to debt. In 16, of those students who actually have debt, because there are students who don't, about 20% of the class, of those who have debt, their average debt's going to be about $170,000. Their mean income about $75,000.
And this is for vet med students.
This is for vet med students. So I was preparing for this interview yesterday. I was listening to some podcasts driving back from St. Louis. My mother turned 80, so I went to St. Louis this weekend and had a 5-hour drive back where I could listen to some things and try and educate myself. And I listened to one of Dave Ramsey's podcasts on student debt, and there was a lawyer who called in and very similarly situated, made about $75,000 a year working for the government, straddled with about $150,000-$160,000 in debt. And his answer to the situation was, stop working for the government, go take another job in the private sector, because he said, when you wake up, you could be earning $140,000. You fall out of bed, you make $140,000-$150,000. And, of course, that makes your debt problem a lot easier, double your income. So we certainly try and, you know, focus some effort with our students on how to earn more income. And that's good for, you know, practice owners and students and, in some ways, animals, because we're providing more services and their owners. But it's our answer isn't that you can wake up in the morning and take another job and double your income. It just doesn't work that way in veterinary medicine. Most people that go into the profession are very dedicated to animals. They have a real passion, and that's one of the great things about our profession. Nobody's going in it to get rich. That is not a goal. The goal is to take care of animals and help their owners. So with this heavy debt-to-income ratio of 2-to-1, how do you handle that? And the answer is these new income-derived repayment plans. Income-based repayment plans have been around for many years, but President Obama, with a presidential order, created a couple new ones that are particularly useful for veterinary students or any student who has a high debt-to-income ratio.
And they're still in place.
And right? They are still in place. So it's good. I don't think the president or the new Congress has any intention of removing those. There will be some alterations, and we can talk about that maybe in the next segment if anybody's interested. But under these income-based repayment plans, there's one called PAYE, P-A-Y-E, and one called REPAY, R-E-P-A-Y-E. And those are particularly useful for any student who has high debt-to-income. With the PAYE system, you pay 10% of your discretionary income for 20 years. And if there's any remaining balance on your loan, that is forgiven. Now, the kicker is you will get a 1099 for that forgiven portion, which means you will pay taxes on that forgiven portion in 20 years. But it does allow you to, as I tell the students, live life, save for retirement, save money for a practice purchase, save money for homes. So I think to understand these programs is essential for many new graduates, but particularly our new graduates. Repay is very similar. You pay 10% of your discretionary income, but you do it for 25 years. There are some key differences. With repay, if you are married, you must file your taxes jointly. This is important if your spouse or partner has a different debt-to-income ratio than you do. So if your spouse would have no debt and make a good income, they're going to take 10% of your discretionary income as well as 10% of your spouse's discretionary income to pay your loan. Under the pay system, you can still file separately. So you lose some of the tax benefits of filing jointly, but those often are outweighed by the benefit that 10% of your spouse's income doesn't have to go to your loan payment if they don't have any debt. Now, if you're similarly situated, you both have debt and you both make about the same income, it's kind of a wash. It doesn't make as much difference. There are several simulators out there that students can use to run their debt-to-income ratios. We encourage them to do that. There's one veterinary-specific one. There's something called the Veterinary Information Network. And there's a wonderful simulator that is on that Veterinary Information Network, and we encourage all of our students to go run that. In my class, they're also required to go form a personal budget. The University of Minnesota spent a lot of time, along with, I believe it's Nationwide Insurance, in creating a budget simulator that students can use. So they can plug in their expected first year's income. They can plug in their spouse's income if they have a spouse. They can project it out. We expect our income to grow at 3% or 4%, et cetera, et cetera. They have to go research what housing costs are likely to be in the areas where they would like to practice, as well as other cost of living. So transportation costs are going to be a lot different in Hays, Kansas than they are in San Francisco. And we have a fair number of students from out of state. They have to plug all those items into the budget. We spend a lot of time talking about medical insurance because that's a crucial item, I think, as many of you know who are listening. The cost of medical insurance is going up. When you work for small business owners, some of those will provide you with medical insurance. Some will not, or there can be various variations, I guess, on what they provide you. So we'll pay $200 towards your premium. We'll pay three-quarters of your premium. Corporate practices are expanding in veterinary medicine. They generally offer better benefits. So students have to understand the importance of those. If I don't get medical benefits, how much out of my budget am I going to have to direct to those costs? We go through things like disability insurance and life insurance, you know, so the students really understand the value of what they're receiving when they get a benefits package. And if they don't get life insurance or they don't get disability insurance, how much do they need to budget for to come out of their salary? Even things like we go over deductibles, because deductibles can vary greatly, $1,500, $2,000 to $4,000. So how do you save for that deductible? You have to plan for that so you don't get caught with heavy medical bills or heavy medical insurance. You need to read your medical insurance plan to know exactly what they're offering you. Is it a bronze level plan, silver, gold? What is your deductible? What are your co-pays? Once you're in the hospital, how much do they cover? Is it 70%? Is it 80%? Those things make a big difference, and a big difference in how you have to plan for your savings. And then the biggest thing is their student loans. I make them go figure their student loans, look at a number of different programs. This year, I made them choose the lowest cost student loan for their budget just to show them the impact it can have. Our students are very austere. I think people, when I went to college, I think, boy, I had debt. They have debt. What's the difference? Well, it's completely different, as we showed them.
Numbers don't lie.
The numbers don't lie. The amount of debt that they're burdened with is far, far different than I was in 1994. There's just no comparison, and they have to look at these income-derived plans. I do have them look at a standard 10-year plan. Last year, my students, again, very austere, coming from Kansas, very conservative. I had a lot of notes on the budget. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the numbers say. I'm paying my loan off in 7 years or 8 years or 10 years. And you know, it's, I'm going to live at home in a basement. I'm going to walk to work. I mean, all these things that really probably aren't going to happen.
Right.
Or I say, you've spent all this money on your education, you're a doctor, and you're going to, you know, live in a one-bedroom, you know, basement apartment, you know, with no running water. It's just not, in San Francisco, it's just not reasonable or feasible. And so our students are very austere, and it's, a lot of it is educating them on what you're going to need once you graduate to live a good quality of life and feel good about your profession. And then also, if you're using income-based repayment, sometimes the difference. So our average student debt at Kansas State is about $200,000 for a student. That's average for the students that have debt, $200,000.
For the vet meds.
For vet med.
Gotcha.
Okay, for vet med students, $200,000. If you do a standard 10-year repayment plan, I believe the repayment is something like $2,500. I brought it with me. Yeah, the first monthly payment is about $2,300.
That's a big payment.
That's a big payment, $2,300 a month. And think about that on our students' salaries this year. We range from $65,000 to $80,000 or maybe $85,000, depending on where you live and what segment of the profession that you go into. If you do an income-based repayment plan, you're going to be looking at something maybe as low as zero for the first year or $400 or $500.
Much more manageable.
Much more manageable. That's a $2,000 a month difference, $24,000 a year. Now, it's important what you do with that $24,000. You know, we're not telling you to go take European vacations every year with $24,000. But you need to invest a portion of that to save if you want to buy a practice, right? It's important to save a portion of that. Some of that you're just going to need to live on. There's no doubt about that. But we want our students certainly to live frugally and responsibly. But with this type of debt level, I think it's important people understand that they can't reasonably get it paid off in 7 or 8 years. There will be some who do that, no doubt. There will be some who are very successful in practice. There will be some who work multiple jobs. But
the exception, not the rule.
Exception, not the rule.
Let's go ahead and take our last break of the hour. We'll come back and close things out and talk more with Dr. Tom Schwartz, the Hospital Director for the Veterinary Health Center at Kansas State University. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S.